I am so happy to be back with you again this week. How are you doing? How has your day been? Mine has been rather busy with a busy week as well. And I just want to share something with you. I don't know if you've been tuned into Impact, especially this week, where we have been sharing about a passion project that impacts the community, and specifically women who have been impacted by gender-based violence. They've gone through a program with Basadi ba Moshito Foundation, where they just got empowered with different skill sets, and now they're going to be graduating on the 1st of December. It is very exciting to just see women survive that and get skills, and then eventually get to the point where they graduate, because those skills are skills that they will get to use as they go forward, and they will be impacting other people and impacting their own lives and just empowering themselves. Now, Zinhle Twala did an interview with our station assistant, Adele Boshoff, a very, very, very lovely lady. I don't know if you ever do sense Adele's warmth just behind the mic, but yeah, they did an interview just detailing about the passion project and God's treasure box. And I would implore you to go to Impact 103's website, www.impactradio.co.za. And then you just scroll and look for online content, and then you click there. You look for an interview that she did with Zinhle Twala. And then you just give yourself some time to take some notes and listen through that conversation and listen to it with the Holy Spirit beside you, so that he can empower you and just give you some ideas on how you can be touched by the very same project. And once the Holy Spirit says, go ahead and contribute, what you can do is then send the word treasure, TREASURE, to the Impact WhatsApp line, which is 071-364-0376. And I'll repeat that. You send the word TREASURE to the Impact WhatsApp line on 071-364-0376. And once you do that, you can either sponsor one box, which is worth 400 rand, or you can just break your bank and sponsor as many as you can. But there is a limit to the number of beneficiaries, and that is 70. And I hope that as Impact, we'll get to the point where we say, guys, no, thank you. We are good. Do not send anymore, just like what Moses did. So please, you know, just surprise us. Send that word treasure, TREASURE, to our Impact WhatsApp line, 071-364-0376. And now, I'm usually alone or with a guest from outside, but tonight I have a very, very, very special guest. It's not an unfamiliar voice. It's probably somebody that you love and admire, somebody that you love listening to, somebody who, like, yeah, probably challenges you at times on this side of the microphone. The none other than the gentleman who went and ran the Soweto Marathon on a Sunday, and then he decided that on the Monday he's going to be in studio. I don't know where he gets the strength, but maybe he's going to tell us. And that is none other than Josi. Welcome, my brother. And then technology decides that it's going to misbehave. Let's try again. Welcome, my brother.
Z, thank you so much for having me, man.
Awesome. I'm happy to
thank you so much for having me, Z. It's so weird being interviewed. I almost don't know what to do, even though I interview so many kids. So it's so weird being interviewed, I must say. And as for the coming in the Monday after the marathon, it's because on the Friday, I asked the Impact family to send voice notes of encouragement. So I had to come back and bring a good report to say, yeah, we did it. We absolutely did it. We crossed that finish line. And I say we because I did it because of all those voice notes. So yeah, thank you so much for having me, man. It's weird for me to be on after 6 p.m. So thank you for having me as a guest.
Yeah, thank you for agreeing, because it's quite a heavy topic. But before we even get to the topic, I just want to warn you, don't go to the Comrades Marathon, and then decide that you're going to come to work the week after. Just be warned, don't do that. No. There's nothing heroic about it.
And I'm not sure if I'm talking about the not coming back or the not doing the marathon. I'm still trying to figure out which one I'm talking about.
Well, something tells me that you will be doing the marathon. No pressure, but at some point in your life, you will. And when you do, please, that week after, just take some time off to rest.
100%. Noted.
Awesome. But I want to ask to just quickly get into our topic because of the time that we have. So, friend, you're listening on this other side and you're kind of wondering, okay, what is Zibuse talking about now? Don't worry, this time we're not talking about forgiveness, even though forgiveness may feature somehow when you think about this conversation. But it's a conversation that is close to Josi and my heart as well. Josi's heart is mine, as well as mine. In 2019, my wife and I learned in December that we were expecting a child. And we obviously started making those plans, those adjustments in our lives. Okay, no more caffeine, no more doing this. Let us watch our stress level. Let us do all of those things. And we're excited. And then I remember it was on the 16th of December. We'd gone to celebrate a friend's birthday. And then the day after, my wife says, hey, I don't want you to be alarmed, but yesterday I noticed I started spotting. And that process started a journey of us visiting GPs, trying to get what was going on. And I remember I didn't want to lose hope. I was like, I'm going to hold on to faith. You know, that stubbornness that this one, I'm not letting go. I'm going to hold on against faith, against all logic. I just want this to happen. Needless to say, on the 25th of December, 2019, my wife and I were in hospital. She was in theater having her womb being cleaned because we had lost the pregnancy. And the following months were tough for my wife. But I thank God that in spite of all of that, what we did was draw closer to each other. There was no blaming. There was nothing else. You know, we kind of traveled this journey together, right? It was no surprise for me when one day I was on Instagram and I saw your post, Josi, about Father's Day, I think. It was a Father's Day message. And let me allow you to then narrate that story on your side.
Yeah, you know, Z, you, from the moment you find out that you're expecting, there's a hope and a picture that you have of what the future looks like. And one of those things included Father's Day. We were scheduled to give birth on the 6th of June. So I was like, oh, if it's just before Father's Day. So by the time I have Father's Day, and I always spoke to my wife saying, oh, I'm so sorry, by Mother's Day, you will still be pregnant, but by Father's Day, I will be a father with my son or daughter in hand. And we found out that we were pregnant in October 2023. I think it's on the 6th or the 7th of October. And as it be, you know, you get excited, your whole world changes, your whole view changes of life. It was our first pregnancy, so it would be our first child, and we had a bet from our wedding day that if I don't cry when she comes up the altar, that we never find out the gender of the child. And not so much that I didn't cry, I really just fought to hold the tears back. I held them back because I was like, I don't want to find out the gender. So we were expecting our first little one, whose gender we didn't know, and we agreed we'd find out on the moment she gives birth, because I like things like that. So I tried to switch things around. And it was a beautiful pregnancy, filled with so much joy, man, so much hope, so much expectation. I've always known that my wife was someone, anyone who would ask you about my wife would tell you that she's always loved children. She's always loved family. And she's always looked forward to having her own family. And I never knew that the same thing existed in me until we fell pregnant. And I think I looked forward to being a dad in this season. And on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day, we were at the Rancho with some friends. And just before we left for them, my wife says to me, "Hey, I haven't felt our little one move. I'm not sure. I'm not certain. I think I haven't, but I'm not sure if I was paying attention." And at the time, we were 7.5 months pregnant.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you hear in pregnancy, they always tell you about the first 3 months being the most important months and making sure that you're careful in those months. And after 3 months, if you pass those months, the odds are that you're fine. And I mean, double the time, at 7.5 months, we are anticipating that we would be giving birth. And needless to say, on the 1st of April, 2024, we eventually at the Rancho decide, let's just go to the doctor. We go to the doctor, to the closest hospital. Our gynae wasn't in. He was on long weekend. So he was on leave until the next day, the Tuesday. And when we got there, the nurses, man, so also loving nurses, man. They try to find his heartbeat. And they're like, "Oh my goodness, no, maybe this machine doesn't work. Let me ask the other nurse." And the other nurse comes in. "Ah, no, we're struggling to find baby's heartbeat. Let me call the other person." And they're like, "No, let's wait for the doctor." Call the doctor on call. And needless to say, he arrives to say, unfortunately, we can't find his heartbeat. And, you know, it is a very daunting time. It's a time that you don't anticipate, you know, when you're a person of faith. There's an element in you that imagines that there's certain experiences in life that you are immune to. As false as it is, there's a very false narrative that you hold on to. That in that moment you think, "Not me, Lord, no. We prayed, we trusted, we prayed for this baby throughout this pregnancy. There's no way that this is us." But you sit there with those news and you try to come to terms with it.
Yeah, I can imagine how difficult it must have been. Because even with our gynae, he was on holiday. And he had to come back for that. And that's when you realize the blessings that God has given you. But what I also want us now to touch on is you then go through that painful period, which was very difficult for both of you. And right now, for you who is listening on the other end, I just want you to, of all the hats that you can wear, put on the hat and stand on the perspective of the father who has been expecting to be a father. And now he cannot be. Well, he cannot hold a child. He cannot see the child grow. He won't have those nights where he wakes up and goes to look at the baby. And he helps the mother after breastfeeding, and then he burps the baby, and then he takes the baby to sleep. He misses all of that. But the world around the father is the world around the couple. Even when they come to comfort, they go to the mother more. And you are standing there on the sidelines, and you're thinking, it's okay. She needs the support. But who supports you? And that's what I want us to talk about tonight. Who supports the man? Who supports the father whose hopes have been dashed? And I don't know what your experience was, Khosi, especially after the loss and after you had gone through everything, did you have a support structure or a support system that actually focused on you?
You know, Zibuse, I'm taken aback even as you ask this question, because I remember from the moment we sat in that hospital on the 1st of April, the day before she gave birth on the 2nd of April. And all my attention from the moment, even before the gynae came in and confirmed this, there are moments before that that you know, you already know what they're about to say to you. And all I could think about is my wife.
Mm.
And everybody that steps into that room looks at us both, but there's an extra softness to her. And for the most part, it looks fitting because I have the same posture of worrying about my wife who's always looked forward to being a mother and raising a family. And as the days progressed, I remember the situation was so severe. She had what is referred to as a placental abruption.
Ooh.
And she had lost quite a bit of blood herself also.
Mm.
And after the operation, that is, after giving birth. And she had to stay in hospital for a couple of days. She was in the ICU, actually, for a number of days, even after she gave birth, I think about 5 days. And in those days, I'm home and I'm away from her. And in those days, I think that's when it became apparent for me that it seems that all the focus and the attention and the speech is focused to her, which at first I echoed those sentiments because I was worried about my wife.
Yes.
But very soon after, I realized that, but wait, I don't think there are a number of people that are aware of what I could think. Statistically, we live in a nation where fatherlessness is a predominant thing. And the idea of a father that is excited about a pregnancy and looking forward to raising a child as excitedly as a parent, as a mother does, is something that is quite foreign, statistically speaking. And therefore, as a result of statistics, people's response is always to the father of that reflecting statistics that you were excited, but not as much as the mother, that the mother carried and felt all the emotions and the excitement, but not as much as the father. And I think that was quite difficult for me to process, because I remember for me, I was very excited. I actually remember there was a point where my wife was saying, I'm excited for our child, and I think my husband is more excited for our little one than I am, which was quite foreign for a lot of people. And that husband, that father, was by virtue of just general society left aside. And I think I remember friends and colleagues and family that saw my excitement towards having a child coming alongside me. Very different to the societal norm. But people that would say, hey, how are you?
Well, we seem to have lost Khosi there. We will reconnect with him just now. But what exactly I just asked, that sometimes we need to wear different hats, and in wearing different hats, we look at, yes, rightfully so, what is the mother going through, but as well, what is the father going through, and what support can we give to the father? You can continue, Khosi, from where you left off.
Sorry about that. I was so grateful for a community that noticed us, that saw me as a father, as husbands, as men, we have the innate ability to focus on our significant others. It comes in so naturally, so much so that we will dim ourselves down to be almost as completely quiet as possible before we see the person next to us, in the efforts of lifting up our partners. And it's what I went through personally for me. I was so worried for my wife more than it was for myself. And I was so grateful in that time for a community that says, hey, we're here for you both. We're here for you as a dad to say you are as much a parent of this child as much as your wife was. And It was weird because it wasn't the general norm, but also it was welcomed because I felt seen.
Wow.
Because I remember even when Father's Day came, I had to come to the acknowledgement to say, I am a father. I am a father to Ritumetse Rankhumise, who is my son in a world that otherwise would disacknowledge me, if there's such a word.
let's create it. Disacknowledge.
We created it.
Yeah.
Because they would be so interested to the mother. Yeah.
Thank you for that vulnerability. And I think that's one other thing that we seldom see among men, becoming vulnerable, especially in a public space, and showing emotion and being authentic, not being manipulative, because at times there are people who tend to be manipulative in their expressing of emotions. But
yeah,
it's a unique thing and a very plausible one. I love it when a man is being emotional, and I often say that men don't often talk about their pain because it's not easy to listen to a man's pain. And I salute the support structure that you had, because people were able to switch and say, hey, how about you? You know, with me, I didn't realize how much it had hurt me until one day I was sharing in a WhatsApp group with other dads. And as I was telling the story, I felt that lump on my throat, and I felt myself getting all flushed up and getting, you know, tears in my eyes. And that's when I realized, actually, I've never mourned this hope that was dashed. And I hope that one day we get to have part two of this conversation, because of time is fast spent. Part two of this conversation where we delve deeper into how do we support a man who has lost it all? A man who has lost his job? A man who has lost a best friend who has been there ever since primary, and now they are older men, and that guy is gone? How do we support that? But any last words from you, Jose?
I think firstly, thank you for the platform. I don't take it for granted. I remember after we went through all of this, immediately I was trying to find platforms, podcasts, audios, videos that had space for other husbands, dads to share their experience. And I'm grateful that you do this, not for me, but for so much more, for the other people that could find themselves in this. Number two, secondly, is to say I absolutely agree with you that we have to have a second conversation. Whether it be with me or somebody else, I support it 100%. I think for the efforts of encouraging other men to open up and to say, hey, what you feel is valid, yes, contrary to what society may say, the fact that you're heartbroken is okay. It is normal, and you should acknowledge it. Pause, feel it, and acknowledge it. It's important that you do so, for the sake of those around you, or else you find yourself bleeding around those that are in your life. And thirdly, I think, I think my heart is to go out to all men that may be finding themselves in a place where they feel broken because of a loss of a child, a loss of a job, loss of a family, loss of a loved one, loss of a friend, like you're saying, a best friend. That even in those places that feel very emotional, quote unquote, and very foreign to what men should feel, really to say, hey, be okay to sit in that place, because for the health of the way you are to your family, to your friends, you need to allow yourself to sit there. Because the more you sit there, the more you heal and you allow the Lord to meet you there, the more you're able to be a blessing to those that are in your family, in your circle of friends, and in your place of influence. And to say, hey, it's okay to be there. Don't stay there, but allow the Lord to meet you there and bring the healing that you need in that space. And Z, thank you. Thank you so much for having the space for this.
Thank you.
I look forward to the next conversation.
Awesome. You've been listening to Impact 103 with Zibuse Elgunen on God in the Picture. And my guest was Khosi Rankumise, or I'll call you Daddy Khosi Rankumise. Stay tuned for Focus on the Family, which is coming up next. And I know that you will also be empowered and very much fulfilled when that comes into play in about a few seconds from now.